What is up, guys, and welcome back to the Cox Sports Podcast. I'm Jackson.
And I'm Carson.
Today, we're switching gears, going back to the NFL. Since the NFL draft is tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, we are going to do a 2020 NFL mock draft. We really appreciate all the support that you guys have shown us. Remember to leave a five-star rating on Apple Podcasts for us. We really appreciate all you guys have done for us. Almost a 200 all-time downloads, so we're moving up in the world.
So you got to start somewhere with these podcasts. So starting with, 200 viewers off the gate and downloads, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're just excited to be able to do it, and we just have fun doing it, honestly. It's not even really about the ratings. Like, we don't know how successful this thing will ever be, but it's just fun to get together and learn more about sports. You really do learn a lot more about topics when you research them the way we have, and it actually just makes you more, I'd say, like, intelligent about the world of sports and just, like, statistics and stuff like that. But yeah, we, again, just appreciate the support, you guys, and remember to leave a five-star rating on Apple Podcasts for us, and we really appreciate it. All right, to the task at hand, the NFL draft tonight. No real explanation here. We're just going to get into it. We really just based this off of team needs. You guys know more than us about your specific team, so make sure you comment and tell us what you guys think your team's going to pick, where you think you're going to pick, if you make a trade, what position you really think that your team needs. We just went based off of kind of surface level what we thought all these teams needed, and the way that the what we've been seeing over the past couple of days with some mock drafts and stuff. Some guys have moved up and down, so things have changed a little bit from where they were at the beginning. But yeah, we'll get right into it. You want to go ahead and do your first?
Yep. Number one, the Cincinnati Bengals. I have them picking Joe Burrow, quarterback out of LSU. I think this is what is going to happen tonight. He had 60 total touchdowns at LSU. This guy's a baller, and based on what he did last year, there's no way I don't see the Bengals picking him first, unless, now, hear me out on this, the Bengals, just theoretically, let's say they pick Chase Young, number one. Now, maybe you haven't heard of him, but there's this quarterback at Clemson, I believe his name is, Trevor Lawrence. He's going to be in the draft next year. Now, if they select Chase Young, number one, I don't really see the Bengals getting drastically better, so potentially they could tank next year and get Trevor Lawrence, if they're really about that savage life and trying to, fiddle their way around and try to maneuver and play the draft system like some teams have had. So, I mean, unless the Bengals are really confident in this, I think they'll take just the safe bet in Joe Burrow. But if they do take Chase Young and they somehow were able to get Trevor Lawrence next year, I think that would be an ultimate steal, and the Bengals would really just take a huge upgrade as far as their team goes. And that would just be wild if they did that. Talk about two. I mean, Chase Young, I saw the other day, is the only 99-rated – or no, he's one of four 99-rated draft prospects. It's like him, Patrick Peterson, Saquon Barkley, and Andrew Luck. So, I mean, those guys had great careers. So, I'm assuming Chase Young will have one as well. And Trevor Lawrence is like the hottest QB we've seen, best prospect we've seen since, like, Peyton Manning. So, I think if they were able to – pull that off, I don't know, but Joe Burrow, number one to the Bengals. They're going to be safe with it, and they're going to take Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I also had the Bengals taking Burrow at number one. That conspiracy theory is an interesting one, but I think the problem is you can't gamble on being number one. When you're number one, you just got to take the franchise guy. You got to take a guy that's going to lead you, because you never know if you'll be back at number one.
No, that's true.
I don't think the Bengals will be good next year, regardless of who they pick. I still think they will not be a good team, but Trevor Lawrence is probably going to go number one, I'm assuming. Yeah. Unless some team, like maybe the Giants, who already have a franchise QB, or like fall or something like that. But that being said, I mean, Burrow's, I think it's a foregone conclusion. He's the number one pick, unless the team maybe trades and maybe like the Dolphins were to move up into that one spot. I saw they had already denied a few trades. The Bengals are looking like they're going to hang on. But like you said, Chase Young, it looks like he's going to be a generational type of talent. So I think he probably is the best player in this draft, but based on positional needs, I think it's Joe Burrow at number one. Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, if we're being honest, in my opinion, I really think Burrow, Tua, and Herbert are pretty interchangeable. I don't really see one quarterback being that much better than another. I think really any team would be lucky getting them three. So, I mean, I think Tua is the best quarterback talent in this draft, but you can't deny what Burrow did at LSU, so I think we'll go number
one. And injury concerns. He's a risky number one pick.
That's true. Okay, number two, I have the Redskins getting Chase Young, edge rusher out of Ohio State. Like I said, just this guy can do everything. He can play the run. He can obviously get to the quarterback. He's quick. He's big. He's strong. I mean, talk about a prospect that we've been hearing all college football season and all the way until the NFL draft. I mean, this guy's the real deal. Like I said, one of four 99 rated draft prospects. So I'm really excited what he's going to do for the Redskins. But then again, I'm not fully sold on the Redskins QB situation. They could very easily go up and get a Herbert or Tua, but I think Chase Young, the same with the Bengals kind of, is the safe pick in Chase Young. So I think he'll get number two.
Yeah, I also had Young at number two. I think the first two picks are probably really the only, like a foregone conclusion in this whole draft almost. I mean, I'm assuming Burrow and Chase Young are the first two picks. And then after that, it gets a little bit rocky, which is kind of, I think a lot of times in NFL drafts, at least like the first five picks, you're kind of like certain who's going to get drafted where. But really after three, a bunch of experts have had that three spot even bouncing around between different players. But yeah, no, it's Chase Young here for Washington. He will serve that franchise for a long time if he can stay healthy. He will pretty much come in and be one of the most talented players on the Redskins, without a doubt. And if Dwayne Haskins can develop, they could potentially make into a good team. I mean, you really only need, for instance, take like Khalil Mack on the Raiders. I mean, that can kind of like make your team good if you just have a guy on the edge that rushes. And then, Chase Young being such a good athlete, he'll be able to drop back and disguise when they disguise blitzes, and he'll be able to drop back. He might even make a few picks. But yeah, that being said, I think he's the best prospect in this draft personally for me, and he's number two to Washington.
Yeah, and at number three to the Lions, I have cornerback Jeff Okuda out of Ohio State. Jeff Okuda, he's a great bump and run guy, can play zone. He's big, he's lanky, he has great ball skills, paws. He's just the best cornerback in the draft. The Lions losing Darius Big Play Slay, that's going to hurt them a lot. They don't have anybody to guard. The Davante Adams and the Adam Thielens that are in the NFC North. So I think Jeff Okuda fits right into the Lions' defensive scheme, and he causes a problem to other NFC North teams with their number one receivers. So Jeff Okuda to the Lions for me.
Yeah, the Lions have to fill this gap. Losing Slay is a big loss, and you can't just have a lot of teams try to survive without a number one corner, and I just don't think that's a sustainable method. You need to have a guy that pretty much runs out on the other team's number one receiver every game. I like having that guy on my team, and I think Okuda is going to be that guy for the Lions. Freak athlete, ran like a 4.3 at the combine, and also like tested, I think, like top five in the vertical jump as well for cornerbacks. So like when you're at the top in the 40-yard dash and vertical jump, you know you're getting a good athlete. His film shows that he has good hands for a cornerback, definitely. This is why he's graded so high. If you guys have had him dropping a little bit, but I think he's just too good of a player for Detroit to pass up. And obviously they've been known to want to get big time cornerbacks. They had Slay for many years until they recently let him go. But yeah, I think it's Okuda here. It'd be interesting though, because they just got rid of Slay. Are they focused on just getting another cornerback, or do they want to like focus on other position groups? So that could be a controversy here with the number three pick. I've seen maybe some defensive tackles getting thrown up in the air maybe with Detroit, but I think it's defense no doubt for Detroit, and I think it has to be Okuda. So yeah, I have Okuda at three as well.
Yeah. All right, moving on to number four, I have the Giants picking offensive tackle Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa. The Giants, they need a pass protector for Daniel Jones as well as a run blocker for Saquon Barkley. Obviously, Saquon Barkley, with the injuries, didn't quite have the year that we were hoping for going into his second year, but I think that's largely due to the lack of offensive line play. Having to create solely for yourself is tough for a running back. So I think the Giants looking to help their franchise running back in any way possible, I think they go for Tristan Wirfs. I really think as far as like Andrew Thomas and Mekhi Becton or even Jedrick Willis, I think they're all interchangeable like with the quarterback situation. But I definitely see the Giants picking an offensive lineman with the number four spot.
Yeah, I had the Giants picking Jedrick Wills out of Alabama offensive tackle. I agree with you. I think it's pretty certain they're going to go with an offensive lineman. They need someone to protect their franchise guy. Daniel Jones struggled a little bit last year. He's not the most mobile guy in the world, especially in the pocket. So you're going to need a pocket that's sustainable. And I think the way Bama plays will help Saquon as well, because they are more of like a pro style offense. And I think Wills will be a better run blocker than potentially Wirfs or another tackle, just based off of Alabama's style. I think he's comfortable with pass blocking and also run blocking a fair amount due to the pro style offense. So I like Wills at the number four spot, but I'm with you. It's kind of interchangeable at this point. I mean, it's just really who the Giants like out of these offensive tackles, but it's looking like an offensive tackle is the pick, and I went with Wills.
Yep, me too. And now at number five for the Miami Dolphins, I have them getting quarterback Tua Tagovailoa out of Alabama. Like I said before, Tua, his arm talent, really haven't seen much like that before. His deep ball is just magnificent. The spiral he has, it's always a spiral. Really just his accuracy as well as his arm strength is just really magnificent as far as quarterbacks go. Of course, the injury, so his mobility will be limited definitely, but I think, I mean, if you're a quarterback, it's you got to send. I mean, you just can't, with a quarterback like Tua who is versatile, I just don't think that you can limit yourself. Just slide when you run. I mean, of course, easier said than done, but I think Tua is definitely the next best quarterback as far as who to pick for number five for the Dolphins. So I think the Dolphins go with Tua here.
I also had Tua at number five to go into the Dolphins. I think this is also a pretty secure pick. I don't think the Dolphins are going to go for Herbert or even like a Jordan Love. I don't think he'd ever hop up that high. But yeah, Tua is the pick here for me. Miami needs a QB. Tua's injury concerns are something that you could argue about whether or not he's going to end up landing at that five spot. I've seen some people having Tua fall a little bit in the draft, which I could see. It's just really what the franchise wants, and you know the Dolphins have been doing intensive scouting. They would not make this pick unless they're certain that Tua is healthy and he will not have any long-term effects from this injury, which I don't think he will. I think, you know, doctors have kind of told teams that he's going to be okay. He's been able to rehab for a while. He really took it carefully when he was at Bama. He didn't try to, rush out on the field, prematurely when he had the injury or anything. And I know he wanted to, but it was one of those things where he had to look forward to his future and you just couldn't risk it. And I think number five here is probably the pick. The Chargers are coming up at number six and they're also looking for a QB. So maybe interchangeable, but I also had Tua at number five. The arm talent's undeniable. I agree. I think he's the best QB talent in this draft, but just the injury concerns. He couldn't get him at number one. So Miami gets Tua at five.
Number six for me, I have the LA Chargers picking quarterback Justin Herbert out of Oregon. Justin Herbert, 6'6"? He's mobile. He's a great arm. The Chargers just lost Phillip Rivers. They have Tyrod Taylor, who has led the Bills to a playoff berth. So, I mean, they could send with him, but I think with their number six pick and having a guy like Herbert on the board, there's no reason not to pick him. He could step in and be so effective right away with the weapons that they have in Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler. So I think Herbert's the pick here for the Chargers.
Yeah, there's been a lot of speculation regarding Herbert, whether or not he's going to make a good NFL QB or not. I personally think he will. I like him a lot. I think he's a great talent, and I agree. I had him at the number six pick going to the Chargers. I think the reason he goes to the Chargers, and I think maybe the Chargers take a gamble on him at six because they have Tyrod. I think Tyrod can be the starting QB for that team this year, and they won't really have to worry about, you know, Herbert having to come in early or anything. He can kind of sit back, relax, learn the system, also continue to perfect his craft because he does have a long way to go. He's a bit raw. You saw in that Arizona State game last year, he can be prone to turnovers and just kind of forcing the ball. Has a great arm, a live arm, but at the same time, that can be kind of a curse and a blessing because I think a lot of times he's going to think he can fit balls into certain windows. And in the NFL, those windows close so fast that it's going to be just such a different game in college, especially in coming out of the Pac-12. I'm a firm believer. I like kind of judging people on who they play in college. The unfortunate part is the Pac-12, the defense is just not there. Pac-12 not known for its defense, so Herbert may struggle in the NFL at first. But that being said, he's going to have time to sit back and learn the offense and watch Tyrod Taylor kind of run it and see how it goes. And I don't think the Chargers will be rushed to put him in because I don't think the Chargers are really in much of a rush to be good immediately. I think this is a long-term project with Herbert at number six. I had Herbert at number six. I think it's the logical pick for the Chargers.
Yeah, I agree. Coming in at number seven, we have the Panthers. I have them getting just a defensive everywhere position guy in Isaiah Simmons, safety, linebacker. He can even go and play nickel cornerback for you. This guy, he can do it all on defense. The Panthers defense has really been lackluster. They made good improvements on the offensive end in getting Bridgewater and Robbie Anderson. So I don't really see them going in an offensive direction with this pick. And with Isaiah Simmons, I think still being on the board, he's too good to pass up. So I think the Panthers definitely take Simmons with the 7th pick.
Yeah, I also had Simmons going to Carolina at number 7. I think the Panthers have kind of addressed some offensive issues that they had last season. Obviously, the quarterback position was a big one. Not sticking with Cam Newton in the future and going with Teddy Bridgewater was an interesting decision. New head coach as well. I think losing Luke Kuechly as well is going to kind of force the Panthers to draft in the linebacker position. I think you need to fill a spot where a leader is going to be missed, an absolute playmaker, one of the best linebackers I've ever seen play. And I think Isaiah Simmons has the potential to really be a star. His athleticism is unmatched the linebacker position. He's NFL ready. That's what you look for in a linebacker is you want that speed. You want that sideline to sideline speed and the ability to run with running backs out of the backfield, as well as potentially, you know, slot receivers. Like you said, I think he'll be able to do that. And I think it's a great pick at number 7. I think if this wasn't such a top-heavy class, especially with QBs, that you'd see Isaiah Simmons potentially running into that 3 spot even maybe. But with that being said, great athlete. And obviously Carolina needs to fill a hole, which is in the linebacker spot. So Simmons at number 7 makes sense.
Yep. And coming in at number 8, I have the Cardinals getting Andrew Thomas, tackle from Georgia. I think Kyler Murray needs protection. Kenyon Drake needs, you know, lanes to run through. I think that as far as offensive weapons go, I think they're pretty okay. And there's no really real defensive backs that I see up here that the Cardinals could take. So I really think the only option here is taking, you know, a solid offensive tackle in Thomas. Once again, the tackles are interchangeable, but I think having Kyler Murray get as much protection, as much time in the pocket as possible is key to making this Cardinals offense work, especially getting DeAndre Hopkins and the way that Kyler Murray loves to run. I think they need a guy to protect him and help him out in that aspect. So I have the Cardinals getting Thomas at 8.
Yeah, I like the offensive tackle. I think it's going to either be an offensive tackle or a wide receiver. Personally, I can definitely see an offensive tackle, but I went with a different pick. I went with CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver from Oklahoma, at the number 8 pick for Arizona. I think this pick makes sense because Arizona already has 2 possession receivers. Their top 2 guys in Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk are both kind of possession guys. They're obviously Kirk is a smaller receiver, but he's more of a route runner, not like a huge deep threat. But and obviously we all know Larry Fitzgerald coming towards the end of his career, but still provides a lot for that team. I think CeeDee Lamb is the home run ball type of guy that Kyler Murray might need. I think CeeDee Lamb is a guy that when Murray's out of the pocket scrambling around, that CeeDee Lamb can get open off of a whim. And also they can run design plays where you can really see Kyler Murray's arm talent, which I'd love to kind of be able to see him really progress this year. And drafting CeeDee Lamb would be a huge step for the Cardinals. I think an offensive tackle also makes sense. I really kind of debated on whether or not I was going to go with a tackle, but I think I like surrounding a young QB with a young star receiver, and all sources indicate that Lamb's probably going to be the first receiver off the board, maybe Judy. But you know, with that being said, I think it makes sense at wide receiver. I think also with Fitzgerald being so old, you're going to need a 1 or 2 guy anyway. So it kind of makes sense to maybe go in a heavy receiver class, go get a big time receiver, and then Fitzgerald kind of can fade out a little bit and you don't have as much of a drop off when Fitzgerald leaves, because his production might not be as needed as it has been in the past if you have a guy like Christian Kirk and CeeDee Lamb on your team, 2 pretty good receivers. So I went with CeeDee Lamb at number 8 for
Arizona. Do you like that CeeDee Lamb, DeAndre Hopkins show?
Yeah, I do. I do. Yeah. And like you said, them adding DeAndre Hopkins is another big deal. Yeah, I completely forgot about that. But yeah, like I think that with Fitzgerald leaving, you're going to have to have a hole to fill. And I think that any team needs 2 or 3 pretty star receivers. So obviously DeAndre Hopkins being their number 1 guy, but at the same time, CeeDee Lamb could come in and immediately be a deep threat. You know, DeAndre Hopkins is a deep threat, but at the same time, he is known for his route running and his possession catching. He has some of the best hands in the league and route running ability. So if you could interchange them and have, you know, Hopkins running your, you know, 12 to 15 yard routes, and then you can really send CeeDee Lamb deep. And I think that's what he's going to be in the NFL, regardless of where he goes. But yeah, no, I still like the pick at number 8 for Arizona. I like the wide receiver shout personally.
Yeah, I like that a lot too, actually. Number 9, I have the Jaguars getting Mekhi Becton, offensive tackle from Louisville. I mean, Mekhi Becton had one of the best 40-yard times for a 300-plus pounder. So I think this guy not only is a great run blocker and will be able to get to the second level, but as far as screens go, he'll be able to go out there and get cornerbacks and linebackers and create lanes for Jaguars players. Also, another thing I could see with the Jaguars, unfortunately, the running backs just aren't quite strong enough. And with Leonard Fournette being on the trade block, so I don't know what's going to happen with that. Maybe they pick him with that later pick, but I really like Becton here. He's a versatile tackle. The only downside is his weight. I don't know. I just needs to get that under control before, you know, he comes to the league. But I really like Becton. I could see him at that four spot with the Giants. He's that versatile, and if he can get the weight problem under control, I really think he'll be effective. So I have Mekhi Becton going number 9 to the Jaguars.
Yeah, I went with a cornerback here with C.J. Henderson out of Florida. I think the Jaguars have a lot of issues they need to address. They're kind of just starting from scratch after they were, you know, so competitive 2 years ago and had, you know, that stellar defense, and their offense was kind of plugging along. It was always the defense that was the stalwart of that team. I think they're going to go back and try to get a cornerback. You know, losing Jalen Ramsey is really tough. Also, A.J. Bouye. So that being said, I think a cornerback is the pick here. I think Henderson's the best cornerback in the draft, and I think he's somebody that Jacksonville can build around and maybe try to get back to that defensive culture that they had 2 years ago, that kind of identity. They need an identity, and I always kind of think defense is it because offense is just so hard to draft, and it seems like that they can't really get their hands on the right quarterback either. They've had some guys bounce around, and, you know, I don't know if Minshew is the I like Minshew. I think he's kind of like a cultural icon type of guy, but is he a franchise quarterback? Kind of yet to be seen. Maybe he'll get a shot this year, but I think a cornerback's the pick, and it was C.J. Henderson out of Florida.
Yep, I like that. Coming in at number 10, we have the Browns. I have them getting Jedrick Willis, offensive tackle from Alabama. The Browns, as far as their offense goes, they have a lot of firepower with Nick Chubb, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry. So I think with Chubb having a fantastic year last year running, why not add fuel to the fire with that great O-line and add a tackle in Jedrick Willis? Also a guy that can protect Baker in the pocket, give him more time to see guys like Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry. I really think an offensive tackle is ideal here for the Browns, so I have them going with Willis.
Yeah, I went with Tristan Wirfs at number 10 going to Cleveland, kind of just swapped our 4 and 10 pick. Obviously, the need here is offensive tackle. I don't really think there is another pick for either Cleveland or the New York Giants. And they both need offensive tackles with young quarterbacks, especially with Baker Mayfield, who is young and also is mobile. They're going to need the ability to, you know, for him to stand in the pocket and deliver good passes, especially with having such a talented wide receiving core at the time. We'll see what happens as the offseason progresses. But I think it's offensive tackle here. And I went with Wirfs. You know, Iowa has a great reputation for bringing in good offensive linemen to the NFL. And I think that Cleveland would be smart here. Cleveland finally making a smart pick and going with an offensive tackle. Joe Thomas had been a servant on their team for years and years, and that was literally one of the best picks they ever made because he was his longevity. So why not go for an offensive tackle again and get another franchise guy that you can kind of build your offense around? So I went with Wirfs at number 10.
Very fair there. Number 11, we have the New York Jets. I have them getting Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver from Bama. I mean, the Le'Veon Bell experiment kind of didn't really work out last year. That's still yet to be seen, but this guy doesn't have anybody to throw the ball to. I mean, Jamison Crowder, but I mean, I'm not having him as my number one receiver. I think Jeudy can step in and be a number one receiver. What he can do with the ball in his hands is really what I think makes him stand out from other receivers in this draft. Not only is he a great route runner, he can get open, but what he does when he gets the ball, being able to maneuver around defensive players and get extra yards after the catch, I really like that, and I just think with the Jets kind of struggling all around, I really think Jeudy is a guy that they can build, especially with Sam Darnold, and make Sam Darnold take that next step maybe. So I think the Jets come in and take Jeudy, and he makes I think he's going to be a big impact player his rookie year, and I think he's going to be a number one receiver to come and the best receiver in this class. I'm really high on Jeudy, so I have him at number 11.
Yeah, no, it's a good shout. I like the Jets drafting a receiver as well, but I went with an offensive tackle, Andrew Thomas out of Georgia. I think the first thing you have to do when you have a franchise QB like Darnold is to protect him, make sure that his longevity is secure, and I think an offensive tackle is the correct pick here. I agree, you know, I think their pick is going to be something that has to do with helping Sam Darnold. because that is the guy that they've kind of coined to be their franchise QB, and with good reason. I'm a big Darnold fan. I think he's going to end up being a good QB if they can surround him with the right pieces. I think offensive line is a good place to start for him. I think you can maybe address the receiver issue maybe later on in the draft, or maybe even trade up and get a receiver, or you know, late in the first round, maybe trade a few second or third round picks, something like that. There are plenty of receivers in this draft, but I think that you'd be smart to get a tackle here. So I went with Andrew Thomas to kind of secure Darnold's future as far as his health, and I think it's a smart pick for the Jets.
Yeah, that's very fair. Number 12, the Las Vegas Raiders. Mm-hmm. I have them with their first ever draft pick, getting CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver from Oklahoma. CeeDee Lamb, like you said, a great deep ball guy. I think the Raiders' offense, with the emergence of Waller and Josh Jacobs, I really think they have a nice offensive core. And having Hunter Renfrow back, who actually had a great rookie year last year until he got hurt, I think adding CeeDee Lamb with that kind of offense in Gruden, I really think he can make the Raiders' offense something somewhat of a threat, I would say. They have a lot of things that they need to improve on, but getting a guy as talented as CeeDee Lamb, I think you can. That's the best thing you could do for that kind of franchise with a promising offense that I see. So I have the Raiders getting CeeDee at number 12.
Yeah, I went with Jerry Jeudy, a wide receiver out of Alabama. I agree. I think wide receiver's the pick here. That offense needs some firepower, and I think either CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy could fulfill that role. I had CeeDee obviously going 8 to Arizona, but Jerry Jeudy, I believe, it's controversial for me whether or not he's the best receiver in the draft. I probably give him the nod. I like the competition he's played against. I think Big 12 defenses are absolutely pitiful. I still think CeeDee Lamb is a special talent, but I think Judy's been able to go into the SEC and prove that he can perform on a day-in, day-out basis. I like this pick for Las Vegas. I think with Gruden potentially looking for a new QB, which I, spoiler alert, may have them drafting later on in the first round, a wide receiver would be the logical pick to give that offense a little bit more speed. So, yeah, I went with Jerry Jeudy at number 13.
Yeah, I love my man Jerry.
Or excuse me, number 12, sorry.
Number 13, I have the San Francisco 49ers selecting Henry Ruggs III, wide receiver, Alabama. I really like Ruggs. Obviously, he's a speed demon. I mean, that guy can run. I love the way he fits in with Kyle Shanahan and the way he loves to run his crafty offense with screens and, you know, getting guys in space to make plays. I really think Ruggs can do that with his speed and what he can do when he catches the ball. So I think just because he fits scheme-wise better than maybe some of these other receivers, I have Ruggs going to the 49ers with Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, I like the scheme comment there. That's actually a really interesting one. I kind of went a little bit off the grain. I went with Justin Jefferson from LSU, wide receiver. I think a wide receiver is the pick here. Them being such a good team and having a mid-round pick is really nice for them, and you can really stack up on some skill positions, especially in this draft, how heavy a wide receiver class it is. I went with Justin Jefferson because I'd like to see Jimmy G have a guy that he can kind of throw the ball up to and just, you know, he can make a play, and I think Jefferson's that guy. He's one of my favorite receivers in this draft just based on his height, his ability to jump, amazing hands. Of course, he's part of that LSU team last year that just put up stupid offensive numbers. You know, will he fit into the scheme like maybe Henry Ruggs? Maybe not. But at the same time, with really short receivers like Deebo Samuel, Emmanuel Sanders, you know, I'd like to see him get a guy with some size. I'd like to see him get a guy that can maybe run down the field and make a play on a cornerback as opposed to just screen passes and slant routes. I agree. I think Ruggs probably fits better into their system, but I'd like to see him go against the grain and maybe go with a guy that they could maybe add a new component to their offense with, maybe a red zone threat. So I went with Justin Jefferson.
No, I think either is a great fit for San Francisco.
The wide receiver is the pick, definitely.
I agree. Number 14, I have the Tampa Bay Bucks getting AJ Terrell, cornerback out of Clemson. Offensively, the Buccaneers are set, maybe some lineman issues, but I really think they need to improve their defense, as it was absolutely horrendous. It shined in moments, but overall, not very good. They have a good pass rusher in Shaquille Barrett, so I think with his ability to get to the quarterback, I think they need a guy that can defend some wide receivers, especially with facing Michael Thomas and facing Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. It's going to be tough. They need a guy that can cover those good receivers, especially with how poor their secondary was last year. I have them getting AJ Terrell at 14.
I went with Mekhi Becton at number 14 for Tampa Bay, offensive tackle out of Louisville. I think it's the best pick. It's the most logical pick with Brady coming in. I think you need a guy that's going to be able to serve a long time on that offensive line. As long as Brady's career ends up lasting, it looks like he's going to end his career in Tampa Bay. I think they've already added enough offensive pieces with Gronk obviously coming in, as well as their 2 1,000-yard receivers in Godwin and Evans. I think it's pretty logical here. You pick tackle. I agree. Defense is a concern for me. They're going to need to be able to stop people. I don't think Brady's just going to be able to – I don't think Tampa Bay is going to be able to just score 50 points a game and just win it all. I think they're going to need to address defensive issues, but I also think offensive tackle seems like a pretty easy decision for me. Becton showed that he's a big athlete. I think that's something that Brady could really utilize, and they want Brady to be able to sit in the pocket as long as possible. It's very obvious Brady is not mobile. He's going to need to be able to sit back there and make plays. He has the receivers. He has the tight end. Running back may be a little bit of a concern, but even then, I mean, they do have some serviceable guys. So with that being said, I went with Mekhi Becton at offensive tackle from number 14.
Yep, that's very fair. Coming in at number 15, I have the Denver Broncos getting Justin Jefferson, wide receiver out of LSU. If they're going to make Drew Lock the guy, I really think Justin Jefferson with Cortland Sutton, I really think they can be a pretty special little wide receiver duo. The Broncos are in a weird situation. They got Melvin Gordon, so I think – it's just Melvin Gordon and Phillip. It's going to be weird with them. They have a lot of pieces on offense, and they're really lacking receiver-wise. I think Jefferson, like you said, 6'4 guy. He can run. He can go up and get it. He can do everything you want in a receiver. And having Drew Lock at quarterback being new, I really think that him combined with Cortland Sutton will really make it comfortable for Drew Lock as the QB for the Broncos. So I have Justin Jefferson at 15.
I went with Henry Ruggs III at 15, wide receiver out of Alabama. Kind of already talked about him earlier. We just flipped our 13 and 15 picks. I think wide receiver has to be the choice here. I'd like to see Cortland Sutton get a little bit of help as far as a speed receiver goes, which is why I went with Ruggs as opposed to Jefferson. I think they already have the possession guy, the red zone threat in Sutton, and I think he's going to be a big player for them come, you know, come a few years down the road. Drew Lock looks like he's going to be a decent QB. Sutton still put up good numbers last year, even with the quarterback controversy they had. So I think wide receiver is the pick here. Denver's in kind of a weird spot. Their defense is kind of like they kind of just are Von Miller and the rest of it's a little bit. They used to have a really good defense, and now it's kind of slowly everybody's getting old. Von Miller's not getting any younger. I'd like to see their offense provide some firepower for that team and not put so much pressure on their defense to consistently make plays and get turnovers because their offense is quite frankly inept. So I think Henry Ruggs is the pick at number 15 here.
Yep, very fair. Coming in at number 16, I have the Atlanta Falcons getting Javon Kinlaw, defensive tackle out of South Carolina. I think the Falcons are pretty much set on their offense. They don't look like they're trying to really change anything. They got Todd Gurley and, you know, sent Devontae Freeman on his way out. So I think as far as offense goes, I think they're pretty set. Their O-line's solid. So I see them getting a defensive tackle, a guy that can get to the QB as well, and, you know, just clog up lanes there in the run game also. So I have the Falcons getting Kinlaw with the number 16 pick.
Yeah, I agree. I think defense is the answer here. I went with Kalavon Kyson, linebacker out of LSU. I think that Atlanta needs to continue to boost their defense. They've had some really weird defenses in the past couple years. They were really elite the year that Matt Ryan won MVP, and they made it to the Super Bowl, obviously, and blew one of the biggest leads in the history of the Super Bowl. We're not going to talk about that, though. I think defense is the pick here. I think that they have a good offensive core. I think defense let them down early last year. They have been drafting offense for as long as we can remember. All their big-time players are on the offensive side of the ball. I like this pick for Atlanta. With the addition of Dante Fowler Jr. as well as Takaris McKinley, I think that it is the best pick for them, and I think they could really create a really good pass rush in Atlanta. So I went with Kyson at number 16.
Yep. Okay, coming in at number 17, I have the Dallas Cowboys getting C.J. Henderson, cornerback out of Florida. The Cowboys lost Byron Jones. They need a number one cornerback. I think Henderson's the best one on the board. He's very versatile. He's, you know, great on ball skills. He can play the bump and run. He's good in zone. He's kind of a good replacement that the Cowboys are looking for as far as cornerback goes. Their defense was, you know, the reason they didn't win the division last year overall, I think. I think that their offense is pretty set with Dak and Zeke and Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. I really think that defense is what they should be focusing on. And I think that Henderson is absolutely going to fill that hole that Byron Jones left by going to the Dolphins. Huge pickup for the Dolphins, by the way. So I think the Cowboys come in and they take a very talented guy in C.J. Henderson at cornerback with their 17th pick.
Yeah, I went with, I think defense definitely has to be the answer here for Dallas. I went with Xavier McKinney, safety from Alabama. Kind of a controversial pick here. A lot of guys have him bouncing around the first round, maybe even into the second round. I think Dallas has to address defensive issues, which they have a little bit this offseason, trying to go with Aldon Smith. They signed Dontari Poe, which I think is a good interior lineman that'll serve well for them. I think safety and even cornerback is probably their biggest issue. So I would go with the safety here. I like McKinney a lot. I think he's shown that while sometimes not being effective for Alabama, he has the athleticism to really progress in the pros. And I think that a lot of times you just have to project a guy. Maybe, you know, they don't have the best ball skills or anything like that. But if they test out in the combine and you think that you can bring them into your franchise and potentially coach them into being a good player, I've seen it happen with plenty of players. And I think this could happen with McKinney. I think Dallas needs to address their secondary. I think that's always been a weak point for them, really, ever since I can remember. Honestly, they've never had a good secondary. I think this is a good starting point. You need to get a young safety and combine him with a couple guys that they have as well on the defensive side of the ball, maybe Byron Jones, Azubuki, the cornerback out of Colorado. But yeah, no, I like McKinney here. So I went with Xavier McKinney, safety to Dallas.
Very fair. Coming in at 18, I have the Dolphins with another pick. I have them getting Derrick Brown, defensive tackle, Auburn. Some people could say that I had Derrick Brown falling, but I think the Dolphins pick him here because he is the most talented player left. Great D tackle out of Auburn. He can play the run game, get to the quarterback. He's big, can clog up lanes. I think with the Dolphins getting Byron Jones, having kind of a guy in the secondary that they can rely on in guard, number one receivers, I think that having a pass rusher is a necessity for that defense. So I think the Dolphins step in and get Derrick Brown at number 18.
My number 18 pick, I went with Austin Jackson, offensive tackle out of USC, not to be confused with our boy Ajax. He is not in the draft. But no, we're going with Austin Jackson, offensive tackle out of USC. I think, like we had both projected, Tua getting drafted by Miami, I think the next thing they need to do with them having a decent receiving core, with having Parker, who is a really good receiver, I think you address the offensive line issue. I think you protect your QB, who is potentially injury prone. So take your pick with offensive tackles in this draft. There are a lot that are going to be going off the board. I went with Austin Jackson in the slot. I think he will fulfill a need that Miami will desperately need if they draft Tua. He is going to always kind of have that injury bug over his head. Being drafted with an injury always kind of seems to maybe potentially haunt you. So I wouldn't want that for Tua. I think Miami is in their best interest to draft for the future. And I think an offensive tackle is the pick. So I'm with Austin Jackson.
All right. Moving into number 19, I have the Las Vegas Raiders getting Jalen Johnson, cornerback from Utah. The Raiders, you know, with their hopefully offensive firepower that they could potentially bring in next year, I really think they just need to fix it up on the defensive side of the ball. And Jalen Johnson's a great cornerback. They kind of lack in that department. So I think bringing in a guy like Jalen Johnson will be huge for the Raiders and their progression forward. So I have the Raiders with Jalen Johnson at number 19.
I went with Jordan Love, QB out of Utah State. He's really been jumping up draft boards recently. Kind of came out of nowhere like last week, and people were like, yeah, we think he potentially could be a first-round talent, which I didn't really see. I hadn't really been following him that much. I'd kind of been focusing on, you know, our big three QBs. But Jordan Love, I have him sneaking in there at number 19 to the Raiders. I think Gruden wants a guy, a QB that he picked. And I think that if they like Jordan Love, they'll pick him. I'm not sure how high Las Vegas is on Jordan Love, but I think Gruden wants to groom a guy from the beginning. And I think that with them picking Jerry Jeudy at number 12, like I had projected, I think that that's a really good draft for the Raiders immediately. I think you're looking forward to the future. I don't even know if Love has to play immediately. I think he might just provide some competition there in Las Vegas, which would really do good for the franchise. And Gruden being a QB specialist, I think he would enjoy that. I think he wants as many talented QBs as possible on his team so that, you know, he has pretty much his pick at which one he wants. But I think Jeudy was the pick at 12 at wide receiver. So staying with the offensive side of the ball, I've gone Jordan Love at 19.
I like that shout. Coming in at number 20, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars again in the first round. I have them getting Christian Fulton, cornerback out of LSU. Having them get Mekhi Becton like I projected with the number 9 pick, I think that Christian Fulton can come in and fill that cornerback need that they desperately, desperately have. And I think that Christian Fulton being the best one on the board, according to my draft. So I really think that that's a necessity that they need to get a cornerback that can defend, you know, obviously the number one receivers in the AFC. And they need a guy moving forward that they can maybe build their defense around. So I think with the Jaguars going offensive tackle with their first pick, I think with their second pick in the first round, they need defense. So I got Christian Fulton from LSU.
Very nice, very nice. Yeah, I went with C.J. Henderson as their first pick in the first round, so I'm going to offensive tackle on this one. I've gone Josh Jones out of Houston. I think that this could be a potential hole that Jacksonville needs to fill. Their offense, obviously, is Leonard Fournette as their franchise guy. Do you get an offensive tackle to potentially, you know, give him some more running lanes? They had a really hard time getting Fournette to punch the ball in the end zone last year. Ran for a lot of yards, but not a lot of touchdowns at all. Their offensive line struggled in the red zone, especially. Adding a big offensive tackle for their pass game and run game seems like a logical pick here for me. So I went Josh Jones, offensive tackle out of Houston, number 20.
I like it. Coming in at number 21, I have the Philadelphia Eagles picking Clavon Kiasin, defensive end from LSU. I think if the Eagles can have a guy that can get to the QB, maybe it will take a little bit of pressure off that terrible secondary. Unfortunately, there's just no guys in the secondary that I really think are worthy of the 21st pick. I think Kiasin is a great talent. I think he is a guy that can fit the Eagles scheme and get to the QB, like I said, and, you know, get less pressure off of those defensive backs. So I could definitely see the Eagles trading on up later in the draft and getting a cornerback that they need. But for the 21st pick, I have them getting a stud defensive end in Clavon Kiasin.
Yeah, I went with a cornerback. I think you have to address it in the first round. Their cornerbacks and their secondary in general was just absolutely atrocious last year. At the beginning of the season, they were like on a record pace as far as yardage giving up and touchdowns. You know, wide receivers were really just running riot against them. I remember Devontae Adams on Monday Night Football against them. Just in the first half, it was at like 9 receptions, like 150 yards and 2 TDs, like immediately, or like 100. It was insane. I mean, their secondary is an absolute joke. So I went with A.J. Terrell out of Clemson, cornerback, as the pick. Like I said, I think it's just the logical pick here for Philadelphia. You have to address positions of need. And quite frankly, I can't really think of other positions that they really desperately need besides cornerback. There are a few spots, like Carson had mentioned, that I think I could see them filling. But I think cornerback needs to be addressed in the first round. And I think A.J. Terrell's top 3 cornerback in this draft. So I've gone with him at number 21.
I could definitely see them trading on and getting a cornerback later for sure. Coming in at 22, I have the Vikings getting Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver, Arizona State. They need to fill the Stephon Diggs need. And I think Kirk Cousins needs as many weapons as possible for him to be successful. Having Thielen, he had a down year last year. Questionable whether or not he can be that guy. Is it on Thielen or was it on Cousins? But especially with how great their run game is, I think that they definitely need a sidekick to Adam Thielen. I think Ayuk being big, he can run, obviously, and he had a great season at Arizona State. So I have the Vikings getting him with the 22nd pick.
I went with Javon Kinlaw, defensive lineman from South Carolina. You'd already mentioned before. I think that this is a spot Minnesota could potentially fill. I think this guy's a great pass rusher and he'll also be able to fill some gaps on their rush defense, excuse me. So I went with Javon Kinlaw at number 22. I think Minnesota has some other spots they need to fill, and they have the pick at number 25, which I picked them to also fill on the defensive side of the ball. But I think you need to address their front four, and I think Javon Kinlaw could really fill in a good spot for Minnesota. So I've gone with him at number 22.
All right, moving on, we have the Patriots with the 23rd pick. I have the New England Patriots selecting Jordan Love, quarterback out of Utah. Utah State. I'm sorry. Jordan Love, I'm not a believer in Brian Hoyer or Jarrett Stidham. I really think that, I mean, you saw what Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo did when Brady got suspended that season. They went undefeated together. So I think that Love can step in, probably won't be able to do the same as far as undefeated wise as what they did, but this guy's a great talent. I really think he can develop under Belichick, and I think the Patriots are in dire need of a quarterback in this situation, and I have Love falling to them as he's not taken by teams before him. I have him falling down to 23rd, so I have him going to the Patriots.
Both of us having Love in the first round, a little bit controversial there. I've seen some people really going with him and some people kind of backing off. They don't really, I mean, he's kind of up in the air. I think he might be, you know, one of the more elusive picks in the draft. It's just kind of hard to pinpoint where he'll go. I went with the offensive side of the ball as well, but I went with Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State, wide receiver. I think that New England needs to address their skill positions. I think that if they're going to potentially draft a QB later on, I've heard Jalen Hurts maybe as their QB, which I'd like a lot. But even if they're going to stick with their backup QBs, we all know their QB is probably going to be one of their weaker points this year. So stacking up on skill positions is really important. They drafted N'Keal Harry last year out of Arizona State, also wide receiver. I like Ayuk. I think he has really good speed, and I think he could really provide for this Patriots offense. Julian Edelman isn't getting any younger. He's still providing really well for the team, but I think you need to have wide receivers down the road that are young. If this franchise is going to continue being a dynasty, they're going to need to have positions where they have young guys that are progressing as opposed to that old core that is now with Brady leaving and Gronk just completely gone almost. But now I've gone with Ayuk at number 23 to the Patriots.
Yep, I like that a lot. Coming in at 24, I had the Saints getting Kenneth Murray, linebacker at Oklahoma. He's not quite Isaiah Simmons, but this guy can play multiple positions on the defensive end. And I think the Saints being pretty much set as far as, you know, their offense goes with their line and their skill positions, health just really being the X factor with that. I think they just stock up on defensive guys. Kenneth Murray is the best talent that I see falling to the 24th spot. And I think the Saints will take advantage of that. And I have Kenneth Murray going 24th to the Saints.
Yeah, I went with Derek Brown at number 24. This is kind of a fall for me. He's having like an Aaron Rodgers-esque fall. I thought Mel Kiper had him as early as number 3, and then a Bleacher Report article had him at number 9. I just don't really know a lot of teams that are really going to need a defensive tackle as a huge priority. I think there's too many good skill spots in this draft, especially wide receiver and quarterback as well as offensive tackle. I think that he might slip a little bit and go to New Orleans. I think they're going to pick up good value at this pick with Derek Brown. I think that they would be smart to improve their defense as much as possible. It seems like their offense is pretty locked in as one of the best units in the NFL. Their defense was a little bit questionable at times, and I think getting a guy that can really stuff on the run is important, as well as get a few sacks for the team. I think this is going to be a really good value pick if he were to drop this far. I might be a little bit too much on this drop. He might fall into the teens, maybe. 24 is a bit low, but I just didn't really see a team that really had a need for a D-tackle. And I think that New Orleans really doesn't have many needs to address, so I could see them just drafting the best talent, and I think Brown would be it on the board, so I went with him at number 24.
Yeah, that would be great for the Saints if they could cop him at 24. Moving on to number 25, I have the Minnesota Vikings getting Yetur Gross-Matos, defensive end from Penn State. With their earlier pick, getting a wide receiver, I think offensively they're set. I think they need a D-end guy that can get to the passer and that can kind of move back and play linebacker a little bit, a guy that can kind of do it all. He had a great season at Penn State. I see the Vikings, you know, they lost some guys on defense, so I really think they need to pick up what their defense was and what made that so good, and I think Yetur is the guy for them, so I have Yetur going 25 to the Vikings.
I went with the defensive side of the ball as well. I went with Jalen Johnson, cornerback out of Utah. I think that cornerback is probably the pick here for me. Pretty much the irrelevance of Xavier Rhodes last year was very questionable, and I think cornerback is a spot that Minnesota needs to address. I think this guy, like Terrell, very good cornerback. They could kind of be interchangeable, but I think if he is still left on the board at number 25, Minnesota doesn't really waste their opportunity to pick a guy that could be a cornerback for the future for them and potentially even become their number one guy down the road. So I went with Jalen Johnson at number 25.
I like that. Coming in at 26, I have the Dolphins with another pick, getting Cesar Ruiz, center from Michigan. With them getting Tua, I think they need a guy that can, you know, build that relationship with Tua. And I think that Tua is going to need pass protection. And I think interior defense is a key. And I think Cesar will be able to clog up those lanes and give Tua protection from the interior line position. So I have the Dolphins getting Cesar Ruiz at 26.
I also had Cesar Ruiz at 26. Good shout there. I think offensive line has to be the draft pick for the Dolphins. They struggle a lot with their offensive line. And I think if they're going to draft Tua, you might as well draft two offensive linemen in the first round and make sure that you have a little bit of a core for Tua to go in with to avoid any injuries. I think their offensive side, as far as skill positions go, wide receivers and running backs, is good enough that Tua will be able to provide as long as he can stay healthy. I think the only way he stays healthy, though, is if they have a solid offensive offensive line. So I've also gone for Cesar Ruiz at number 26.
Yep, my boy Cesar. Coming in at 27, I have the Seahawks getting Trayvon Diggs, cornerback from Alabama. They need to address their defense as the NFC West has a lot of offensive firepower with the Niners and the Rams and now the Cardinals. So I think the Seahawks, they've kind of been slipping on the defensive side of the ball. So I think they take a guy in Diggs who is a part of a great Alabama defense. He's played the best competition there is. He's been under Nick Saban. I really like his experience and what he can bring to the table. So I think the Seahawks take advantage and get him at 27.
I went with A.J. Epenesa, defensive end from Iowa for Seattle. I think that the loss of Jadeveon Clowney, they're going to need to kind of plug in that role. And I think that they can get a young pass rusher this time that, you know, they can kind of start over with that whole experiment. You know, it kind of verdicts out whether or not, you know, that was worth it for Seattle or not. Jadeveon's kind of hit or miss. Shows up some games, shows and then doesn't in others. I think that they need a pass rusher, and I think that this would be a really smart pick for Seattle, who is, again, trying to, you know, similar to, I think I was talking about the 49ers maybe, talking about like a defensive core, the Falcons, who had a defensive core at one time and no longer do. Kind of same thing with Seattle, looking for an identity. Russell Wilson's always going to be, their guy on the offensive side of the ball who's been there forever. But, you know, when that defense had an identity, that was when they were the most effective. And I think that this could be the beginning of, you know, potentially drafting a few guys that are going to step in and, maybe create a LOB2. But yeah, I like AJ Epenesa here, defensive end at number 27.
All right, moving on to number 28, I have the Baltimore Ravens selecting Patrick Queen, linebacker out of LSU. I think the verdict here with the Ravens is their defense, their offense is set pretty much in all aspects, maybe getting a receiver, but I don't know. I think I'd rather address the defensive side of the ball with them. Why not stack up on great defensive players and be able to stop every team as well as having an offense that likes to run out the clock? Patrick Queen's a great talent out of LSU, a guy that can really step in and be elite for the Ravens. You know, they've really in the past thrived on having good linebacker play like Ray Lewis. So I think Patrick Queen stepping in here for the Ravens on the defensive side of the ball will be huge for them, especially with how their offense plays. It will be interesting to see whether or not they want to take that step and get a wide receiver. But I think Patrick Queen, as far as the talent that is present at this point in the draft, I think he will fill in and he will play a big role for the Ravens. So I have the Ravens getting Patrick Queen at 28.
I also have Queen going at 28. Starting to get a little more similar down here in the later rounds, which is pretty impressive. I think that if he's still left on the board, the Ravens won't be able to, not pick him. He's so talented, and I've seen drafts that have him up as high as the teens, but he's kind of fallen as of recent. For what reason, I don't know. Great speed at the linebacker position, can also probably guard slot receivers and maybe tight ends and as well as running backs on screens. I think this is a guy that can fit into any offense, and I think that the Ravens are really looking to make a push towards the Super Bowl next year. Not many changes on the offensive side of the ball. Defense is really, I think, where you have to upgrade. I think if Lamar can have another year like he had last year, as long as that defense can continue to perform, which had a great year last year. But linebacker seems like a logical choice here, so I've gone with Patrick Queen as well, number 28.
Love that. Coming into 29, as we're winding down our last couple picks, we have the Titans. I have them getting Isaiah Wilson, offensive tackle from Georgia. They made Ryan Tannehill the guy, and I think that as far as their skill position goes with Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, I think they're pretty set on that on that side of the ball. And as far as defensive goes, I think they could maybe make a move there, but I really think they should focus on if they made Tannehill the guy, really protecting him. So I think Isaiah Wilson being the best tackle left for me, I think he's the choice here at number 29 for the Titans.
Yeah, I'm going with Isaiah Wilson as well, tackle out of Georgia. I think this is a really logical pick for Tennessee. I think this is pretty much, you know, you can kind of rank your tackles how you want to in this draft. I think, you know, a lot of them are interchangeable. I think that Tennessee just really needs whatever one is really available. I could also see maybe Austin Jackson being available or Josh Jones at this point. But I think that's the pick for Tennessee, no doubt about it, for the reasons you pretty much said before, you kind of covered it. But yeah, I also went Isaiah Wilson, number 29.
Yep. All right. Going on to number 30, the Green Bay Packers. I hope and pray that they get my guy T. Higgins, wide receiver out of Clemson. They need a playmaker on the offensive side of the ball. I could very well see them getting a linebacker or a defensive player as they have needs in the linebacker department. But I think T. Higgins at this point of the draft is too talented to pass up. He's, you know, been a part of that great Clemson offense that has been good for the last couple years. He's big. He's fast. I really think he can be a great complementary receiver to Davante Adams, or even be a third wide receiver if Alan Lazard is going to take that step. But I have the Packers getting T. Higgins at number 30.
Also have the Packers getting Higgins at 30. I literally, if they don't get a wide receiver, I'll be so upset. I've heard they potentially have been trying to go for a QB, which I wouldn't be disappointed with. I've heard a lot of people hating on getting a backup QB, but it's kind of crazy that Aaron Rodgers is older than Brett Favre was when the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers. That's like a crazy stat to me. It's crazy how much time flies. I feel so old for that stat. Because I remember when we drafted Aaron Rodgers and I was like, what are we doing? You know, like Brett Favre's our guy. And of course, we all know how that ended up turning out. But I also went Higgins. I think that this team is built to win. Obviously, we're in the NFC Championship game last year. I don't think it's time to kind of build for the future as far as a QB just yet. I would like them to draft Higgins and get a guy in that can immediately contribute to the offense. Their receiving core was probably their biggest weak spot on the offense last year. When Davante Adams was hurt, they would throw some guys out there that if you're not a Green Bay Packers fan, you don't know who these guys are. And the problem is that MVS and Geronimo Allison did not come up big like I thought they were going to as the second and third guy. Like you mentioned before, Alan Lazard ended up being our two, and I didn't even know who he was until he came onto the field, and Rodgers was – I literally had just heard that Rodgers was vouching for him because he was part of the practice squad. And when Rodgers is vouching for you on the practice squad, you're probably going to get some playing time, and when he did, he showed why Rodgers liked him so much. If you added T. Higgins into this receiving core, you would then have a receiving core that was respectable. Then you could kind of have a top, you know, top two guys in Adams and Higgins, and kind of after that, you know, plug guys in. You know, they just added Devin Funchess in. Maybe he's your three, or Lazard, or if Allison and MBS ever want to play, you know, ever want to show up for this team, maybe they could get plugged in at the three and four as well. It'll be good competition, but I'd like to add a receiver in because this offense is built to win still, and Rodgers can still lead a team to a Super Bowl, I think. So I've gone Higgins at 30.
Yeah, I would love Higgins. I would love if the Packers would get him.
Agreed.
Moving on to number 31, I have the 49ers getting Jalen Reagor, wide receiver from TCU. I just think really addressing the offensive side of the ball, I think that's what separated them from not winning a Super Bowl and winning a Super Bowl. So I have them getting another receiver in Reagor. If they can really stack up on the offensive end, I mean, they still have the young core on the defensive side. So I think they're pretty set there. And I just think the more weapons for Jimmy G, the better. So I have them getting a receiver in Jalen Reagor at number 31.
Yeah, I like that too. I had already said that I like Justin Jefferson for them earlier on in the first round. So I went with the defensive side of the ball. One of the best defenses in the NFL. I went with Christian Fulton, a cornerback out of LSU. I think that with Richard Sherman getting older, I think a cornerback might be a logical pick here. You had Fulton higher up in your draft. You know, people are really high on him, and I think that he might slide, though, because it is kind of a heavy cornerback first round as well. There's probably three or four guys that might go before him potentially. So I went with Fulton at 31. I think that with Sherman's age and it being so hard to maintain a defensive unit for like more than 5 years, that's elite. You want to continue to draft young guys and have those guys emerge. That's what the 49ers have been able to do with a lot of their defense. They had a lot of guys this year emerge out of nowhere that I didn't even know before the season started, and they ended up being Pro Bowlers by the time it was over. I like their progression on the defensive side of the ball, and I think Fulton would fit nicely in that core. So I went with Christian Fulton at number 31 to the 49ers.
All right, moving on to our last pick in the first round. I have with the 32nd pick, the Kansas City Chiefs getting Jeff Gladney, a cornerback from TCU. I think that offensively they're set. I think that pretty much in all aspects, including offensive line and skill positions, they're pretty good. So I think adding a secondary guy in Gladney, especially with Juan Thornhill going down, I think that they can only get better in that department. So I have them getting Jeff Gladney with the 32nd pick.
I went with Antoine Winfield Jr., safety / corner out of Minnesota for the 32nd pick. For the Chiefs, Juan Thornhill going down last year really hurt them, and you could kind of see their defense kind of take a turn a little bit. Tyrann Mathieu is kind of in the prime of his career, maybe on the latter end of it, getting a little bit older. I'd like a safety or a corner pick, and I think Winfield can provide both. He did both at Minnesota. Great athlete. Obviously, his dad played the NFL. It's in his blood, and I think that he's going to end up being a good NFL player. I don't know if first round might be a little bit of a stretch. I couldn't really find a guy that really plugged in well for Kansas City because, you know, they are probably, obviously, since they're Super Bowl champions, they're the team that has the least amount of flaws, and they were able to retain a lot of guys. I just see that if Thornhill cannot come back, he tore his ACL, just a really tough injury. So if he couldn't come back, I'd like Winfield to be able to just kind of plug in as a rookie and fill in for that spot. So I think that they're going to kind of look at their positions that are in need, and they're not going to find many. And I think the defensive side of the ball is where you go. So I went with Winfield at the 32nd pick.
All right, dude. I really like that. And our draft is complete.
Yeah. You know, hit us up on Twitter when the draft actually happens and let us know, you know, what you guys think. I'm hoping I get some of these picks right. I'd love to see if I, like, predicted, like, you know, at least, like, half of them correct. I don't think that's even going to happen. But, you know, maybe next podcast we'll kind of, like, get the stats from if we, you know, predicted it correctly. And we'll see who did better.
Yep.
Again, continue to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. We'd really appreciate that. It means the world to us. DM me or Carson with any ideas you have. Some people have reached out to me, and we're trying to just put together some ideas, and I really appreciate those who have reached out so far. We really do take your opinion seriously. Obviously, we just want to do topics that you guys are interested in because you're our viewers. So continue rolling in with those DMs. Again, I'm at Jackson J. Cox on Twitter.
And I'm at Carson Cox 44 on Twitter.
And that's it for the podcast. Have fun watching your team draft tonight. First live sporting event in the longest time. It actually feels good to be able to watch something that actually has implications on the future, not throwback games.
Yeah.
But for the podcast, I'm Jackson.
And I'm Carson.
See you guys next time.
Peace.